In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So as Annie warned us last Sunday, we are entering the time of the Triodion, the church's hymn book that covers quite an extended season. From today, the Sunday of the Publican and the Pharisee, the whole time through pre-Lent, through Great Lent, through Holy Week, all the way up to the very eve of Pascha itself. And Jesus starts this season of the Triodion with a sharp contrast. We have, on the one hand, the Pharisee, the religiously rigorous guy, the guy with all his theologies carefully examined and curated, the one whose outward behaviors border on perfection. And then in contrast, Jesus provides us with this publican, this tax collector, a cheat, a traitor to his own people, a traitor to his own neighbors, a public embarrassment to his own family, one who conspires with an occupying force, with the oppressors, to manipulate and oppress his own people and even his own relatives. And yet by the end of this very short story, Jesus will exalt this tax collector, this cheat, and condemn the religious man. There's a lot packed into these short verses, and we're given several reasons why the outcomes end up being the opposite of what many might expect between two such very different people. There's the contrast between pride and humility. There's the contrast of judging, of looking down on others versus minding oneself. There's the contrast of outward behavior versus the attitude of the heart. And there's another contrast, the one I'd like to focus on today. And it's the contrast that permeates the whole of the upcoming season. And really, it's the contrast of life itself, the ultimate contrast of life itself. And that is the contrast between having a human-centered outlook and a God-centered outlook. Well, let's look at the Pharisee first, the religious man. Jesus says something very telling. He says, the Pharisee prayed with himself. Prayed with himself. It was a human-centered prayer, a prayer that left no room for God. Now, he may have begun with the word God, but think about how many times he says, I, in just a couple of sentences. I thank you that I'm not like them. And I don't do this. I don't do that. Instead, I do this and I do that with all that I have. The whole thing was a human-centered prayer focusing on human-centered accomplishments. And there's something telling about the Pharisee's posture. Jesus has him standing, you know, tall and looking outward. You can see it in the icon of the day. We already mentioned that that's a symbol of being prideful and judgy. But it also shows that the Pharisee sees God as somewhere out there. That God is out there and separate and not dwelling in here. I mean, of course, God is out there in the sense that God is everywhere, but for the Pharisee, God is out there as opposed to being in here. And therefore, his whole spiritual life becomes, to him, a marathon of these measurable tasks that he's keeping track of, accomplished by a hardworking and dedicated me. And then his prayer is to get that God out there to just see how excellent I've done. You know, God, look at what I have done and what I haven't done. And that's all revealed just in that posture. Just in that posture. And Jesus is like, no, that is not the way of love. That is certainly not the way of divine love. Divine love is about the union between God and each person. And in contrast to the Pharisee, this publican, this tax collector, bows his head towards his heart and looks inward. And in spite of all his sins, and there are many, that's where he finds God. Inside is where he finds God. He looks inward, and the first word out of his mouth is, God, God be merciful to me. And think about it. The Pharisee looks outward, and his prayer is, God, I. For him, it's I who's doing the work. I do this, I don't do that. The tax collector looks inward in his prayers, God, be merciful to me. Now it's God who's doing the work. God is the actor. God is the one being merciful. Now, last Sunday, Annie talked about saying the phrase, glory to God for all things in the face of suffering, in the face of strife, in the face of grief and disappointment. And the only way that phrase can be something other than toxic positivity in the face of otherwise unbearable suffering is when it is God-centered, so that it doesn't end up meaning, oh, it's not so bad, or chin up and smile, or everything happens for a reason. Glory to God for all things means that God can take the worst of sufferings and transform them into abundant life. It's a God-centered declaration. So if last week's lesson was that a God-centered outlook can transform our very real sufferings, this week's lesson is that a God-centered heart can transform our very real sins. This tax collector hurt a lot of people, a lot of people. Some may have lost property, jobs, homes. Some may have even gone to debtor's prison. They had those. Families and neighbors could have easily been divided. The hurt he caused was real, and this is not pie-in-the-sky theology. What it is that when I look inward, in spite of my sins, God is still there loving me. That God is still there showering me with mercy, anointing me with healing oil, and offering first steps to an empowered life. And that new life can be very painful at first. It means change. It means giving up something. It means reconciling where I have caused hurt. But through that pain, there is a life worthy of the divine love inside of you. The lesson is that to discover the love and presence of God, a person doesn't have to look any further than inside themselves. You don't have to search out there for God. I mean, God, yes, is out there in the sense of God is everywhere, but God has already chosen to make a dwelling inside of you. You know, Jesus was once asked where the kingdom of God was, and he answered saying, you won't find the kingdom of God out there or out there. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. God already dwells within. That's where you'll find the divine. And a lesson of the Lord's parable we heard today is that God can be found within. That God doesn't love you in spite of who you are. God loves you because of who you are. And those sins I commit, and those hurts I have caused, and the hard-hearted stubbornness that I exhibit, you know, on my own, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. But with a God-centered heart and God's mercy focus, I might just discover that it's already changing, that God is already working grace within me for good. And that contrast between God is out there and I'll do it myself on the one hand, and God is in here and I will live in that grace and mercy on the other, you will see that's the contrast of the whole season. Every lesson you hear between now and Pascha will come down to this. It will come down to the contrast between having a human-centered outlook and a God-centered outlook. And that's the contrast not only of the season, but that's the contrast of your life. Because a life worth living also comes down to that. Amen.